As we prepare for the scripture, I wonder if you'd pray with me for just a minute. Holy God, we are so grateful to be here today, to be together in this virtual way, and I pray that your spirit would inhabit my words and would speak to all of us so that we might learn something new about you and we might grow and we might become more of who you want us to be. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, on January 14th in 2015, 3 weeks of exhausting and relentless climbing, Kevin Yorkson and Tommy Caldwell made history as the first people to climb the sheer Dawn Wall in Yosemite National Park. It was something that people thought could never, ever be done. And they did it with only ropes holding them so that when they fell, it would catch them. They didn't have climbing aids. They didn't have some of the usual things where you hammer into the rock. They used their fingers and their feet. And they got to the top of this down wall. It was 3,000 feet high, and it had long been considered impossible by climbers. Yet there they are. They're at the top. They're triumphant, and they are so excited that they have made it up here. They feel like they could conquer the world. But 10 years earlier, Tommy Caldwell was nothing but hopeless. 10 years ago, he was standing on another mountain looking at the Dawn Wall, and he was considering taking his own life. And as he stood there and he looked at the mountain, he was looking for inspiration. He was looking for a reason to keep going, a reason to do something different. And it was in the mountain that he found his inspiration. As he looked at the mountain, he made a decision. He decided he was going to dig deep and he was going to make a different choice. He would do what no other climber had done. He would climb the Dawn Wall. But the thing about climbing the Dawn Wall is you can't do it by yourself. You need a team of people. Most importantly, you need a climbing partner that's going to be with you every step of the way. Caldwell realized two things on top of that precipice. He realized that he could dig deep and that he had to create a community for himself. Have you ever had a time when you've come up against a wall, when you thought, I just have to dig deep, but I need to climb this wall? We're in this sermon series called Dig. And you can see the graphic, and the D stands for desire to do God's will. And Tom talked about that last week. You can go back and look at that sermon if you'd like to. This week, the I stands for inspire. And we want to talk about what does it mean to dig deeply in your faith and be inspired and do something that might feel impossible. We're using a scripture today that I really, really enjoy reading. It's one I have always found fascinating. It's about two strong and determined women who came up against this life and death situation, and they found some inspiration to keep on going. They dug in and they demonstrated grit. You know what grit is? Grit is that that tenacity, that willingness and that guts to keep going, even though it's really hard. And so they found this. I'm talking about these two women, and their names are Shifra and Pua. Shifra and Pua. And if you don't know the names, don't worry about it. They're not really all that well known. The names aren't. But I bet you understand and have heard of the influence that they have had. They have this very special place in history. Nolan is going to read our scripture for us. Listen to their story.
My name is Nolan Riley. I'm a senior at Chantilly High School, and we'll be reading Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 through 21. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shipariah and the other Pua, when you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birthstool, if it is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and allowed the boys to live? The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. The word of God for the people of God.
Ultimately, one of those babies that these women saved was a boy named Moses, who would grow up to become one of the greatest leaders in the Jewish faith. Their willingness to look at the seemingly insurmountable wall and dig deep to conquer it, their grit and determination led to Moses being placed in a basket in the river and saved by Pharaoh's daughter. If you ever need inspiration, look to the names Shiphrah and Puah. Their story is set in a scene of great cruelty and oppression. The king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, who is the most powerful ruler in the land at this time, is truly a terrible man. He has oppressed the Hebrew people. He has put them into forced labor. They have no real lives of their own or autonomy of their own. He puts them into camps and he sets taskmasters over them. He was truly terrible. The Pharaoh has a fear right now. He fears he's going to lose control of all of these Hebrews. There are so many of them. And so he has this terrible, terrible idea. And he takes this drastic action. The king of Hebrews spoke to two Hebrew midwives named Shiphrah and Puah. When you are helping the Hebrew women give birth and you see a baby being born, if it's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, you can let her live. Imagine somebody telling you when your whole career, your whole purpose in life is to bring life into the world, and he says to you, if it's a boy, kill him. It's a terrible order. And Shiphrah and Puah refused it. Their action said, we are not accepting your rules. They are immoral and we refuse to obey. They had lived in slavery their whole lives. They had suffered abuse and oppression and poverty and loss. They had every reason to be afraid of Pharaoh, but they don't bow to his power. Instead, they dig in and they look to their faith to help them climb that wall. They refused to live into the future that Pharaoh wanted. And instead, they lived into the future that God had for them. A future that celebrated life. Here's what I think is true about you and I. You and I will dig deeply when we believe in a future that is different than the one that we're in the current reality. You and I will dig deeply if we see a future that we want to achieve. Think of a young person in their first job. This is their first job after they've finished their schooling and they're going to work and they're doing the menial stuff, right? They are the low person. But they're doing their stuff and they're thinking, this is not exciting. This is not really what I want to be doing. I could be doing so much more. Often they think, why don't they understand? What they could do is say, I just give up. I'm just going to do this and that's all I'm going to give them. But what they can do is look to the future, look to the next job that they want and learn from someone else and move forward and they can change their future. Or think about someone who has been given bad health news. They've been to their doctor and the doctor says, your cholesterol's too high or your blood pressure's too high or you've got the beginning of heart disease. You have a choice to make at that time. You can go home and say, oh my gosh, look at this terrible news. I have high cholesterol. I have high blood pressure. I just don't know what I'm going to be able to do. And you can sit and feel sorry for yourself. Or you can change how you're looking at the future, and you can change your diet, and you can change your exercise, and you can embrace a different future. It will take grit. It will take determination. Shiphrah and Puah had that. They refused to accept the orders of Pharaoh. Their faith in God inspired them to defy the order and to choose the life. I'm sure that they had to dig deep for that grit. It must have been really difficult. It probably was frightening. It probably felt like they were risking their lives in order to save the lives of these children. But as my grandmother used to say, sometimes doing the right thing is hard. Ask Gayla Benefield. Gayla Benefield was someone who lived in the 1980s, and she lived in this town in Montana. And her job was to read the meters on the sides of the homes for the local utility company. And what she noticed as she did all this reading, she noticed the people inside the homes during the day. And what she noticed is many of them were just in their 40s and 50s, but they had all these respiratory ailments. Many of them had lung cancer. And she thought, that's not right. That feels really unusual. They had oxygen tanks, and they were not healthy people. And so she puzzled about it, and she worked at it, and she did some research, and she did a lot of thinking around it. And what she discovered was a toxic form of asbestos, vermiculite, was used to insulate many of their homes because of the incredibly harsh winters in Montana. They also used vermiculite in playing fields and sport fields. She tried to tell anyone who would listen, anyone who would listen. She would tell her friends. She would tell the neighbors. She would call the police department. She would call the news stations. She told everyone who would listen to her about this. And you know what they did? They ignored her. People said, you're making too big a deal out of it. Surely if there was something wrong, somebody would have noticed this before. You're not a doctor. You're a meter reader. And they made fun of her. But she didn't stop. She knew there could be a better future for all those people who were suffering, and she kept on going. And eventually, a scientific researcher confirmed her suspicions, and in total, over 400 people died as a result of that, and over 1,200 other people were affected. The EPA came in and spent $120 million to clean it up. She kept going. She was determined. She had grit. Gayla believed in a future that was different than their current reality. And as a result of her belief, something changed. It was her determination to dig deeply into her belief that led to a different life for those people. Shifra and Pua are the same. They refuse to accept Pharaoh's reality. As I was studying Shifra and Pua and Pharaoh, I got to thinking about, what's a Pharaoh? And I want to ask you a question. Do you have a Pharaoh? Honestly, I think everyone does. A Pharaoh is something that rules over our life that is wrong. Gayla's Pharaoh was people telling her over and over, you're wrong, and they kept trying to drag her down. And that's what a Pharaoh does. A Pharaoh whispers in your ear this negative self-talk, especially when you're vulnerable. The Pharaoh says things like, don't tell anybody. Nobody's going to accept you as you are. This Pharaoh whispers in your ear. They want power. The Pharaoh wants power. The Pharaoh says, begin a new career. At your age, that will never happen. A Pharaoh is a master of oppression, at telling you that you're not strong and you're not smart and you can't do this. If you have an addiction, that's a Pharaoh that speaks to you. If you struggle with a temptation, a moral temptation, that's Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, go ahead, give in just this once. It won't hurt. One more time, what's the harm? Pharaoh speaks to you over and over. And the voice can get loud and persistent. And sometimes it seems like that's all we can hear. But Pharaoh is wrong. You can overcome that. You can dig deep. You can find determination. You can figure out how to climb the impossible wall. Jorgensen and Caldwell did it. Gayla Benefield did it. You can take on a Pharaoh. Shipra and Pua are two names that were thousands of years ago, two small, insignificant people, many people would say. And yet we remember their names thousands of years later. You know why? Because they took on a Pharaoh and they beat him. Look at how they responded to the order. Now the two midwives respected God, so they didn't obey the king's order. Instead, they let the baby boys live. I want you to notice one word in that sentence. Two. T-W-O. Notice the two midwives respected God. To break the power of a Pharaoh, we need community. You know, it's funny, our instinct when we are struggling, with a temptation or an addiction or a real problem is to be by ourselves, to be solo. Our instinct is not to reach out and invite others in, but that's what helps when you seek community, whether it's one other person or a whole bunch of other people. Seeking community helps us break the Pharaoh. Shifra and Pua turn to each other. Instead of trying to do it alone, they join hands and listen to what happened. The two midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because Hebrew women aren't like Egyptian women, they're much stronger and give birth before any midwives can reach them." The women disregard Pharaoh's order and instead choose to remain faithful to God. But some of you might be saying, aren't they breaking that commandment about do not lie? I want you to think about something. I want you to think about justice. Here's what they knew, that the law Pharaoh created was an unjust law and against the moral law of God. The Pharaoh has utter disregard for the lives of the Hebrews. He doesn't even really see them as people. In contrast, Shipra and Pua live under the law of God. They are called to protect human life, to bring human life into the world. So in much the same way as we accept those who hid Anne Frank and her family from the Nazis, who hid people who were enslaved as they escaped their captors, and all others who lie to protect innocence from the suffering of injustice, so too we accept Shifra and Pua. They knew God was the head of their community. They saw a future where Hebrew babies would not be drowned in the Nile, where their lives would be celebrated, and together they shaped a new future. Finally, these two women teach us that we must do the inspiring to gain the preferred future. Shifra and Pua understood something really important. It wasn't just about these babies. They would never know all of these babies. It was about an entire generation that would not be because of this order. So they refused to follow it. And lives are saved. Moses is born and rescued, and eventually he grows up to become the spiritual savior of in his own right. Shifra and Pua were inspired to create a future of hope. There's an On Being podcast from Otis Moss, and he talks about Howard Thurman. And in the story, when Thurman was a small boy, he comes across this older man who must have been in his 80s, and this older man is planting pecan trees. And the young Thurman watches him for a while, and he says, "Sir, you're not going to be around. You will not live long enough to taste the fruit from these trees." The older man pauses for a minute, and he said, "Son, all my life, I've been eating from trees other people planted. It's my job to plant for somebody else." Then he goes on to say that his father told him, "Just plant. There will be trees that you will never see grow, that someone else will eat from, and it's their responsibility to plant for somebody else." What seeds are you currently planting? What seeds are you planting that will inspire the next generation? Shifra and Pua worked together to plan a future for the Hebrews. It was not the future Pharaoh ordered. It was a future inspired by their faith in God. It was fed by the seeds that others had planted before them. It was fed and nurtured by stories that were told and by the care they had for one another. Every day, you and I have the opportunity to plant a forest for people we will never know. I don't care if you're 10 or 100, you can plant seeds. You can think of the future. You can be an inspiration for one person or a whole bunch of people. What is the future that you're envisioning? Maybe it's a different future for yourself. Maybe there's a personal Pharaoh that you need to conquer. A Pharaoh that you need to find somebody and say, hey, will you help me? Because I can't do this alone. I need a partner because this Pharaoh is so big and so scary and so persistent. But I want to dig deep. And I want to get this Pharaoh. Maybe you're thinking of the future of your friends or your family or your community. Maybe you're being called to plant seeds against oppression and injustice in the world. Maybe you have been planted in yourself a longing to create a world that's more inclusive, a world that expands the current reality to include more people with different abilities, more people of color, more people with different sexual orientations and identities. Or maybe you've been called to be a teacher and plant seeds of knowledge in young students. Maybe you're a truck driver and you drive across the country planting seeds of kindness. I don't know what seeds you're called to plant. I don't know what's inside you to plant, but I do know that you can plant them. So I ask you again, what are the seeds that you're planting? And I can encourage you to get your inspiration from God. I can encourage you to think of these women, Shifra and Pua, and be inspired. And I can encourage you to remember that you can defeat Pharaoh. So go out and plant some seeds. Amen.